Welcome to Life, where I talk about everything bad and good and tell everything I know. Let's talk about drugs and depression, how it affects families. We will get into my personal side later on. We will talk about depression first. Faulty mood regulation, genetic vulnerability, stressful life events, medication, and medical problems can all be possible causes of depression. In some depressed people, the hippocampus is smaller than people that aren't depressed. Your genetic makeup influences how sensitive you are to stressful life events. Researchers have found that early losses and emotional trauma may leave individuals more vulnerable to depression later in life. Medical illnesses and medications may be the root of up to 10 to 15% of all depressions. Tension with one's parents, particularly with his or her mom, and siblings remain associated with symptoms of depression as an adult. Let's talk about drugs now. Surges of dopamine in the reward circuit causes the reinforcement of pleasurable but unhealthy behaviors. As a person continues to use drugs, the brain adapts by reducing the ability of cells in the reward circuit to respond to it. They build up tolerance, so they might take more of the drug to try and achieve the same high. The more risk factors a person has, the greater the chance that taking drugs can lead to addiction. Biological environment and development can be risk factors. Seeing the trauma of a parent suffering addiction at a young age has long-term effects on a child. Children grow up seeing a parent addicted to drugs or alcohol are more likely to develop substance use disorders in their adulthood. They are also 3 times more likely being neglected physically and sexually abused. Seeing a parent on drugs often creates de-stressing emotions, which not only create delays in learning and development, but prolong mental and emotional disorders. Now we can talk about my family. I won't be using names. I had this uncle who always struggled with drugs throughout his whole entire life. He ended up meeting this girl, and they ended up having a beautiful little baby boy together. A couple years after he was born, his parents split up, which really sucked for my uncle because he couldn't see his son as much as he would like to. His son was his whole entire world to him. He would do absolutely anything for him, like give up drugs, which he was trying to do. As hard as it was for my uncle, he knew he had to do it for his son. Whenever someone mentioned his son or he was talking about his son, his eyes lit up the brightest I have ever seen them. When he was with his son, his eyes lit up. Let's talk about his mom. So his mom was also a drug addict, and he spent most of his time with her. And his mom ended up dying of a drug overdose on my grandma's birthday, which really sucked for my family because she was trying to take his son away from him because she blamed my uncle for her daughter's death. Now, my aunt tried to jump in and help him fight her in custody so he could keep his son. So while he was fighting custody, he was also fighting drugs and trying to stop taking the drugs so he could live for his son. Now, this next part is really hard to talk about, so it might just be equally as hard to listen. The last memory I have of my uncle is on Christmas Day. We were all over at my grandma's house, enjoying Christmas, opening presents, just being together as family. And I was trying to get my cousin to wave hi to me, to say hi, and my uncle was being like, "Say hi to Maddie, say hi to Maddie." And that's the last memory I have as of my uncle, and it really sucks because I didn't say a single word to him. I didn't even say a thank you to him. If I knew just a couple of days later, I would be told my uncle was possibly dead, lying up in a hospital because of drug overdose, I would have made sure to have a conversation with him on Christmas. I remember picking up the phone from my aunt, and my aunt asked me where my mom was. I told my aunt, hey, whatever the message is, I can just give it to my mom. She was like, no, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I remember my mom coming home, and she walked into my room, and she was sobbing. I didn't know why until she told me. She told me she thought my uncle was dead. My only uncle on my mom's side. My mom's only brother. I remember trying to stay up as late as I could that night, texting my mom, calling my mom, updates. I remember waking up at like midnight because they just got home. I stayed up until like 5 in the morning, finally fell asleep. And then 6 in the morning, I remember my mom woke me and my brother up. She was like, hey, grab a couple things. We're going to the hospital. I remember grabbing my phone, grabbing some of my Harry Potter books. We got into the car and we drove to the hospital. My aunt called my mom and was like, hey, you need to get to the hospital as soon as possible. This could be his last day. So we drove as soon as we could to the hospital. I remember we were all so tired. My aunt came over. She was like, hey, do you guys want anything to eat? I told her I wanted a blueberry muffin. She got me one. I ate it so quickly. I don't remember grabbing it out of her hands. I remember my sisters coming up, me hugging them like crazy. And then the next memory I have is me getting chili cheese Fritos and a Coke out of the vending machines. And then I remember I looked over at my sister and she was sleeping and she just looked so peaceful. And then the doctors came out and I knew what the news was. I knew just by looking at their face what it was. He didn't make it. As strong as he was and as hard as he fought, and I know he fought hard for his little baby boy, he didn't make it. I remember I went over to wake my sister up, and the doctor even came over with me to wake her up, and we woke up, she came over, we all sat around in a group, and the doctor said, I called it. At 3:20 p.m., I called it. And then I checked the time on my phone. It was 3:22. They were telling us they had called it. They had called my uncle brain dead. I can tell you every person in that room. I can tell you who looked like they cared and who looked like they were absolutely broken and who looked like they couldn't even care less about my uncle. I was sitting right next to my mom. I was rubbing her back. The minute they told us the news, my mother was already sobbing from the moment they walked in. But the minute they told us, she stormed out of that room. I wanted to follow her so badly. But I knew that I had to give her time. I had to give her time. And so then the doctors, they got up, they left, they let us grieve as a family. I got done crying. I thought I was done crying. But little did I know, I wasn't. My dad, he came over, he wrapped his arm around my shoulders, and then I broke down again. And so then the police came up because of the way he died. And when there is a dead body, police usually have to come. The way he died was he was at work and the people he worked with found him overdosed on a pill bottle that wasn't his in the car. And so then they drove him to the hospital and they just dumped him out on the hospital grounds and drove away. they treated him like he was trash. He wasn't trash. He was just a man who was lost, that was trying to find his way back for his little baby boy. That's all he was. He was absolutely everything to my mom, to my dad, to my family, to his son. So, at the age of 3, my cousin lost both of his parents in the span of just a couple of months. Now, the rest of that hospital day was spent just sitting around being sad. My grandparents had to sign papers. The cops was talking to my aunt. I did laugh and smile once. During that whole day, I did laugh and smile once. It was because of my grandpa. My grandpa was trying to act like he was trying to steal my food and my drink. And that got him to laugh too. And it was just such a funny time that he, even though he was struggling so badly because he just lost his only son, he could still smile. He could still smile through the pain that he was suffering. The thing about that hospital day was we got there at 6 in the morning. We left at 6 at night. We drove to McDonald's. We all got food. For the rest of the night, nobody said anything to each other because nobody wanted to talk. Nobody wanted to believe what happened to him, how it happened to him, how a little 3-year-old boy lost both of his parents in just the span of a couple months. It was unbelievable. It was just truly unbelievable. And then my aunt and my cousin's mom's mom was fighting for custody over him. Because the day my uncle had a drug overdose was the day he was supposed to sign his legal rights over to my aunt. So they were fighting for custody, and they fought hard for a couple of months. But soon, his grandma won out, and she got custody of him, which, personally, I think is for the best, because I don't think my aunt could have taken care of him. She already had a child. She was single. She was living in a 3-bedroom trailer. It's just best that his grandma got him and that she had him. She could give him what he needed. She could give him a house and just all the love he needed. What really tears me up about this whole entire thing is the fact that is when my uncle sees a picture of his dad, he always shouts, "Daddy," and gets the biggest smile, and his eyes shine so bright. And now, today, my cousin is currently 5, both parentless, because both of them died of a drug overdose. And both of them was trying so hard to fight drugs off with their little baby boy. But in the end, drugs won. That's what happened to my family. I think this happened because my uncle didn't know where he belonged in the world. In the next episode, we will be talking about toxic friends and what to do.